shadow docket decisions with no explanation of what they mean, and you know, it's very hard to get you know, a sense of the law being enforced in an equitable way, and certainly the policies we have in place regarding you know, immigration and migrants. It does seem to many that it's set up that way on purpose, so that they have no rights, where we can then exploit them and enjoy the kind of lifestyle that they are subsidizing for all Americans. So we're coming to the end of the show. Thank you for all the callers. And my name is Jacqueline Keeler, and this has been Wednesday Talk Radio.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 8:59 a.m.
Hard road that my poor hand is hold. My poor
KBOO Portland.
A hot, dusty road.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Executive Committee meets on the second Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Welcome to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio production by independent community media. We bring local stories to a global audience, produced at a different location every week. I'm Ursula Rudenberg at Pacifica Radio Network. In community radio, we often speak about being the voice of the voiceless. And in today's show, we hear about someone whom we can truly say embodied this. Victoria Roshina was a young Ukrainian journalist whose mission was to speak for the people in Ukraine who currently have no voice at all, who are cut off, and of whom we know very little about what is happening to them. These are the Ukrainians living in territories occupied by Russia. Victoria is recognized as a national hero by her peers. She's the only journalist who would actually go specifically to the occupied territories to report on the conditions there. She was captured and imprisoned by Russian authorities, and she died in captivity sometime between 2023 and 2024. To learn about her, I was fortunate to be able to speak with another distinguished Ukrainian journalist, her former editor-in-chief at Ukrainska Pravda, the primary Ukrainian online news media. Savgil Musayeva is herself a renowned journalist known for her work and activism. Please be advised that this, Victoria's story, as told by Savgil, includes terrible details of cruelty, suffering, and torture. It is an important story, but tragic and horrifying. So please listen at your discretion. It should also be said that Savgil gave this interview after a sleepless night in Kyiv. The city was subjected to hours of drones, bombs, and missile attacks, escalating attacks on civilian targets in an attempt to terrorize the Ukrainian population into submission. On the night of the 17th alone, 500 drones attacked civilian buildings. Thus, it is with appreciation that I was able to speak with Savgil Musayeva.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for joining me. For starters, could you please say your name to make sure that I pronounce it correctly?
Yep. My name is Savgil Musayeva. I'm chief editor of Ukrainska Pravda. Ukrainska Pravda is the leading Ukrainian newspaper, one of the first one in our country, and the source of information about Ukraine. And of course, reporting about the war since the war started in 2014.
Can you talk a little bit about the role that your media group plays?
Among Ukrainians and among foreign journalists and foreign media and the governments of different countries, Ukrainska Pravda is the most popular media that covers this war.
And you publish in English as well as Ukrainian?
Yes. We have an English version, we have Ukrainian and Russian.
And please say Victoria's name so that I'm sure I pronounced that correctly as well.
Victoria Roshchina. She was a freelancer of Ukrainska Pravda since 2022. Actually, she joined us as a freelancer from the start of full-scale invasion.
So you were her editor? So
yes, I was Victoria's editor for 2 years.
Uh-huh. If you would, can you help us know a little bit who she was? What did you know about her that made it possible for her to be so courageous?
She was obsessed with journalism. She doesn't have friends in her life. She doesn't have relations. She was only dedicated to serving people.
Was she a good reporter?
She was a very good reporter. She worked 24/7. At the same time, sometimes she could be rude because she sometimes could be unhappy with some correction you made in her text. So she fighted for her text. So sometimes she can say that she will never publish in Ukrainska Pravda because some correction. And from her text depends the future of this world.
So she was a challenging employee.
Yeah, she was. She was absolutely unique and talented. Again, I'm... Oof.
You miss her.
Of course. Of course I miss her. Even when I was sometimes angry, she was absolutely beautiful creature.
What do you feel that you would like to say about her or about journalism in Ukraine to the people listening to this?
The war is still going on in Ukraine. And Ukrainians still pay the high price just for the right to exist. And the work of journalists is extremely important during this time.
Why do you do it?
Why? Because this is my profession and this is my country, first of all. And when it's war in your country, you have to just cover it and to gather all these evidences, to gather all these war crimes. And this is not even about reporting. This is about protecting your own history for the future.
How dangerous is it for you to be a journalist?
It's dangerous when you cover the war in the frontline cities. But, you know, it's dangerous for every Ukrainian. We are speaking now after a terrible attack last night. It was insane attack. Last night in Kyiv and outskirts, the enemy used 175 drones, over 14 cruise missiles and at least 2 ballistic missiles. It was insane attack.
Okay, well, this is a terrible story to tell, but it's important. Tell us what happened.
Yes, absolutely. Victoria was absolutely brave, one of the most bravest journalists that I met in my career. And actually, she focused on covering war crimes, but not only from Ukraine's territory, but also territories occupied by Russia since 2014 and since 2022.
She reported on Mariupol. Is that correct?
Yes. She came to Mariupol when Mariupol was already occupied by Russians.
Uh-huh. And at that time, she was able to leave again, and then she was able to report on what she saw?
Yes. And she reported from Crimea, and she reported from different cities, from Melitopol, Mariupol, Energodar. And in 2023, she traveled 3 times to these territories. So Victoria was the only journalist who was brave enough to travel to the occupied territories and cover actually what is happening in occupied territory. This is important because, again, I want to repeat it, this is dangerous. And she was captured in March 2022 and she spent around 10 days in Russian captivity. And then with the thanks of different people, we were able to release her. Even after this terrible experience, she said many, many times that she will continue to do that because she's the only one journalist who can do that.
Can you explain that a little bit, what she meant by that?
She meant that coverage of the occupied territory is very important because Ukrainian people actually stay in these occupied territories, but there is no rule of law in these territories. And you will be not able to tell to any journalist what happens with you. And after the occupation of these territories, unfortunately, a lot of human rights violation took place that actually Russian authorities used against civilians. So she covered also, for example, illegal referendum that took place in 2022.
When the occupied areas were supposedly voting to become part of Russia.
Yes, yes, yes. So she covered how political life has changed, economic life has changed, what people are thinking about these new conditions in occupied territory.
She felt that the stories of what was happening to people inside the occupation was important to continue.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And then the last time she traveled to the occupied territories in July 2023, she went to Melitopol and Energodar, Ukrainian city that are now under Russian control.
When Victoria was in the occupied areas, was she able to get any information to you? Was she able to do any reporting before she was captured?
No, unfortunately, we didn't. Unfortunately, we don't know. Because when she traveled to occupied territory, she just disappeared. Because, you know, it's very dangerous to have a communication with someone when you are in occupied territory. So she cleaned all her emails. He used different phone numbers due to security reasons. And then she was captured by Russian officers and she was illegally detained first in Melitopol and then she was moved to Taganrog jail, which is known as Russian Guantanamo. And unfortunately...
It's Russian what?
Guantanamo. Guantanamo.
Oh, Guantanamo. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And she spent more than 1 year in captivity.
When you say it was the Russian Guantanamo, you're saying she was being held without any real charges?
Without any legal charges and with violation of human rights, with tortures. Unfortunately, what we know about the conditions in this prison is terrible. A lot of civilians were beaten by officers of this jail. Different torture that took place in this prison. Electric chair, for example. Baths with cold water, then you can be attacked by the dogs of these prisons. So a lot of terrible things took place in this prison. Actually, Victoria spent first few months in Melitopol, and as we know, she was tortured in Melitopol by electric shock, for example. We know that she was beaten by the officers of this prison. And then when she was moved to Taganrog, she actually started her hunger strike. And what we acknowledged after our investigation that her weight in August 2023 was around 30 kilos.
Are you saying she was very thin?
In which?
We do pounds.
Kilos and pounds? 66
uh-huh.
pounds.
Okay, so she was very thin.
Yeah, she was very, very thin.
Mm-hmm. How old was she at this time?
She was 26 years old. She turned 27 only in October last year when she actually died. She died in captivity. It happened in September 2024.
So my understanding was that you lost track of her in August of 2023. Right after she had gone into the occupied area?
Yes, yes.
And when did you get confirmation that she had actually died?
We received a confirmation. So the father received a letter from Minister of Defense of Russia only in October 2024. And it was only one sentence. We just want to inform you that Victoria Roshina died in September 19th, and we will send her body to Ukraine in the nearest future.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program bringing you local radio productions of global interest. I'm Ursula Rudenberg at Pacifica Network, speaking with Sevgel Museeva, editor-in-chief of Ukrainska Pravda, the primary online Ukrainian news media group. She is telling us about Victoria Roshinya, the Ukrainian journalist who made it her mission to go to the occupied territories in Ukraine and bring back the stories of the Ukrainians who are living there. She was a recipient of the International Women's Media Foundation 2022 Courage in Journalism Award. Roshinya disappeared in August 2023 and in October 2024 was confirmed to have died in Russian detention. As Museeva explains, Victoria's family was told by Russian authorities that she had died and her body would be returned in the near future. As it turned out, they sort of did, but not really.
Actually, the body was delivered to Ukraine only this year, in February, but it was labeled as unnamed man, and actually there were no signs that this is a body of Victoria Roshina. This body was received among 757 bodies of Ukrainian combatants that died in Ukraine's Russia war. And then when the body was received, the forensic experts understood that it was a body not of dead man, but dead woman. And then they made a DNA test, and the DNA test showed 99% that this is the body of Victoria. But we're still waiting for French experts because the family of Victoria still doesn't believe that this is her body, because the body was delivered in a terrible condition. You can imagine, though, she died in September. The body was received in February, already in a bad condition, already mummified with a sign of tortures. And also parts of the organs were absent. The eyeballs were absent. Part of the brain was absent and part of the throat was absent.
So for starters, presumably she wasn't recognizable, correct?
Yes, she was absolutely not recognizable. And actually, when I spoke to her dad 1 month ago, so we had a discussion because, again, I want to repeat, he still doesn't believe that this is the body of his daughter. And he said this is the most terrible thing he saw in his life.
Yes. Yeah.
Because the body was in a terrible condition, already mummified. And
I apologize for the gruesome question, but the eyes missing and the throat missing, what does that mean?
Actually, there's still no answer to this question. Some experts told us maybe the Russians wanted to hide the cause of death. Probably she was tortured before she died. Maybe she died after asphyxia.
So she was strangled.
Yes, she was strangled. But again, this is just theory. We don't have an answer. And actually, this is not something that happened only to the body of Victoria, because after we acknowledged that, we also received information from Security Service of Ukraine that, unfortunately, the other body that were delivered to Ukraine also, like, the parts of the organs were missing.
So the organs missing, does this mean that bodies are being harvested for organs?
I don't think so, actually. I don't have a confirmation of this information, and I think that it could be. But again, I think that all these people who are in Russian captivity, then already with not good health.
So why are organs missing?
I think that they just wanted to hide a crime.
Uh-huh. So what has happened now to this body?
Unfortunately, because of Ukrainian legislation, before the father and mother recognize his body as the body of Victoria Roshina, we even not be able to bury this body.
Right.
So that's why we're still waiting for international expertise. And I have to check this with the German prosecutor office. Maybe they will tell something.
So the body is being held by Ukrainian authorities, presumably.
Yes. Body is still in morgue of German prosecutor office, who are actually responsible for this investigation.
Mm-hmm. It has been confirmed that she died. So whether this is her body or not, was there any sort of memorial service for her, or
No.
So nothing has really been completed?
No.
Wow. So that's very difficult for everybody who loved her.
Yes, it is.
Wow. So
actually, even me, I still have a hope that maybe it's kind of a big mistake.
So there's a part of you that also hopes that this is not really her body.
For me, it's still difficult to realize that something like that could happen with a journalist in 21st century.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm assuming that there has not been a memorial service for Victoria because her family is not ready to do that.
Yes.
Is there some way that you have personally honored her?
Yes, we have kind of an award of Ukrainska Pravda in different nominations. Journalist of the Year, the Artist of the Year, the Social Project of the Year. Of course, we never gifted our own journalist, but Victoria was an exception. And this year, Victoria was recognized as a Journalist of the Year. And of course, after the official confirmation of her death, we are thinking about maybe providing kind of an award for young journalists, and this award will be named as Victoria Roshina Award. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it could be a fellowship in university for young journalists. So we have some ideas, but it's possible only after the official confirmation of her death and when the family also confirmed the body.
Are they in favor of an award like that?
When I asked the father last time about it, he cried.
Mm-hmm.
It's still very difficult for him.
It's too now. It's too soon. Okay. Well, thank you so much for telling us Victoria's story. My condolences for a loss of, it sounds like, a friend and an important person.
Again, I want to repeat that she was the only one who reported from the occupied territories and who was able to do that. And it was absolutely brave. She's great. She's legend for Ukrainian journalism. She's the real hero of our profession.
So nobody else is really doing what she did?
No one.
I mean, for obvious reasons. How has her death impacted journalism in Ukraine? What does this do to the rest of you?
I will tell you that, unfortunately, already more than 70 of our colleagues, Ukrainian journalists, died since the start of full-scale invasion. Not only on duty, but also people who joined the Ukrainian army. But for us, it's also casualties for us. More than 10 people died as a journalist. The death of Victoria also turned our attention in the topic of civilians, detainees, who are in Russian prisons. I just want to mention that there are still around 16,000 people, 16,000 Ukrainians, who are now in Russian prison and in jails in occupied territories.
Who are these people?
Just civilians. You can be arrested just because you speak Ukrainian, you use Ukrainian flag, for example, or you posted something in your social media, and when you leave an occupation, you can be tortured even after that. So I will explain why. When Russia occupies the city, she wants to build a new regime. She wants to build a new legacy. That's why they do that. And the Russian authorities want to clean up the city and society of the city from any people who have a different position. For example, people who want to support Ukraine. So I will say that what they do, actually, the tortures is a part of Russian occupation machine. And what else the death of Victoria has changed? It also reminded us that there are still 28 Ukrainian journalists who are in Russian captivity. Victoria is the first Ukrainian journalist who died in Russian captivity. And we have to do everything possible to save our other colleagues.
Who are they? How did they end up in captivity?
In absolutely different way. So some of them were arrested before the full-scale invasion. For example, Irina Danilovich, who is a civil journalist, she lived in Crimea and she filmed some protests and courts against Crimean Tatars, and then she was arrested. And Dmytro Khalyuk, who is our colleague, he was arrested and detained by Russian soldiers in his house in Kyiv in March 2022, when the Kyiv campaign started.
When they tried to invade? Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And he already spent more than 3 years in Russian captivity. Anastasia Glukhovskaya, she's a journalist from Melitopol, and she was captured in 2023. Because she was among journalists of Telegram channel that covered the war in occupied Melitopol.
And are you able to track these people? Do you know where they are?
No, unfortunately, we don't. We know that, for example, Dmytro Holyuk is in Pakino. Pakino is a Vladimir region, not far from Moscow. We know that he was moved between different jails during these 3 years. And I know that he's already in very terrible condition. He also lost his weight. And that's why I'm asking now everyone in Europe, in the United States, it's some politician, ask Russia to release Ukrainian journalists because journalism is not a crime. But still, it doesn't work.
So please repeat again what you're asking people to do.
I'm asking to do everything possible to release those people, to release Ukrainian journalists who are in Russian captivity, because journalism is not a crime. Those people did their work. Actually, Dmytro Holyuk was taken as a civilian from his house. He wasn't a journalist. He was taken from his house during the occupation.
So based on what happened to Victoria, you obviously are fearing that these people are also being subjected to torture.
Yes, and we have to do everything possible to save our colleagues. They are definitely, they were tortured, and they are in danger.
Yeah. Well, thank you for taking time to speak with me. It's so important to hear. I mean, it's easy for me to say, right? I don't have bombs falling on my house. But what we so appreciate is the willingness of so many Ukrainians to speak with us and to talk about what's happening and to have people who can communicate so well with us.
Thank you. Thank you for that. After this night, this is important to hear.
You're in Kyiv.
Yeah. You know, we are speaking after a terrible attack last night. It was insane attack. I just want to mention again how many drones last night in Kyiv and outskirts. The enemy used 175 drones, over 14 cruise missiles, and at least 2 ballistic missiles. Already 10 people confirmed as a died, and more than 100 people confirmed as a wounded. More than 175 drones in Kyiv and 14 missiles for one city. So, I mean, insane.
Yeah.
You know, any air defense system in any country will not be able to stop this attack. And it's dangerous. Of course, we are tired because, you know, sleepless nights already for 3 years. But, you know, actually, I just want to say that after 3 years and already kind of different bad experiences, you think that this is something that you can be able to just to think that it's normal.
Yeah.
But last 2 weeks were something that I can just even explain. When during 4 hours of night, you hear these explosions and different sounds, and this is very close, and then you see fires from your window in different parts of the city. This is something kind of an Armageddon, I will say.
Yeah.
What is good in this terrible attack that next night probably will be safe and will be silent.
So after a bad night, then they've used up all their rockets for a while and it's quiet.
Mm-hmm. Hope so. I'm not sure.
It's always a source of amazement how you can still share this and, you know, keep your sanity. I think it's just incredible. So thank you.
Thank you, Ursula. Thank you so much.
Have a good evening. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Many thanks to our guest, Savgil Mazayeva, editor-in-chief at Ukrainska Pravda, the primary Ukrainian online news media. Ukrainska Pravda can be found online at pravda.com.ua. That's pravda.com.ua. And to get the English version, you can also add a / and then ENG. Musayeva is herself a renowned journalist known for her work and activism well before taking her position as editor-in-chief at Ukrainska Pravda. She was named by Time magazine as one of their top 100 most influential people of 2022. From Crimea, she was an initiator of creating the Crime SOS web portal. She was Victoria Roshina's editor-in-chief at Ukrainska Pravda. It was an honor to be able to hear about their work firsthand. On our part, this week's program is intended as recognition of those people in the occupied territories, the truly voiceless, and as a tribute to Victoria Roshina's courageous efforts to give them a voice. Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers across the globe. The program is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to showcase globally on Sprouts, contact me, your air traffic controller, Ursula Rudenberg, at ursula@pacifica.org. That's ursula@pacifica.org. Thank you for listening, and see you next week on Sprouts.
You're tuned into listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
Do you need some quiet mood music? Some soothing sounds?
Well, then never listen to Life During Wartime, because they just play really obnoxious DIY punk from local bands and international acts. Sometimes they have bands play live, and it's all with the yelling and the screaming and the I don't like my mom and dad or my teachers and all that kind of stuff. That's Life During Wartime, every other Wednesday from 10 to midnight, here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Today on Wings, you can only understand the full picture by going there.